I want to take a second to remind you to sign up for the Poso Daily Brief. It is completely free. It'll be one email that's sent to you every day. You can stop the endless scrolling, trying to find out what's going on in your world. We will have this delivered directly to you, totally for free. Go to humanevents.com/Poso. Sign up today. It's called the Poso Daily Brief. Read what I read for show prep. You will not regret it. Humanevents.com/Poso. Totally free. The Poso Daily Brief.
We are in a fifth generational conflict.
A commentator, international social media sensation, and former Navy intelligence veteran.
This is Human Events with your host, Jack Posobiec.
Deliver us from evil.
Looting at several popular stores in Center City and more looting here in Port Richmond. Sky Fox over what looks like a discarded merchandise situation all outside of a video game store there and a supermarket. It comes the same day charges were dismissed against a former Philadelphia police officer for fatally shooting a driver during a traffic stop.
Everybody must eat. Everybody must eat. Everybody must eat.
You're crazy. Come
on, boy. Got the hell.
Oh,
hey, mama.
Be careful.
No, get out. Get out.
Be calm. Get out.
Just be calm.
Hold on. Be smart.
Come on. Daddy. Me up.
Uh-oh. That's, oh my God.
Got one! Uh-huh! Free iPhones!
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome aboard today's edition of Human Events Daily with Jack Posobiec. Today is September 27, 2023, Anno Domini. We're going to get right into it. So what you saw just there was the videos of violence and looting that went on in Philadelphia. As you guys know, I'm from the Philadelphia area. Port Richmond right there is where my brother lived up until just about a year or two ago, and spent all of 2020 through there. This looting, it's very clear what's happening. Burn, loot, and murder. The organization known as Burn, Loot, Murder has now been activated for a trial run ahead of 2024. They don't care what actually happened in this police officer-involved shooting in Philadelphia, but we do because we care about facts around here on Human Events, and we're going to talk about it. So I want to play for you, in just 1 second, the body cam of the officer-involved shooting, because you had an individual, all right, Eddie Azeri. And Eddie Azeri was driving his car the wrong way down through the streets of Kensington, was slamming through the streets, was chased by officers. Officers find him. They pull up. Officer one says, "Show your hands." Officer two yells, "He's got a gun." Officer one again, and curses, says, "I'll effing shoot you." He does not show his hands. Shots are fired. The officer pulls back from the vehicle in shock, as if there's a projectile weapon coming. Eddie is killed. Investigators later found that Eddie Azeri was actually holding a black knife, a black-handled knife in his hand. We're going to play that body cam for you right now.
Shots fired, 100 West Willard.
So there you go, folks. It's that quick. Your partner's yelling, "He's got a gun." You can't see the guy's hands. You're there on the street. What are you going to do? Are you going to go home to your kids? Or are you going to use self-defense? Because I've seen this video. You guys can go back and watch this clip again and again, and you can hear him clear as day. Clear as day, his partner calls out and, yes, testified to this in court after having the video played back for him, yelled, he's got a gun. And you can see the first officer, Mark Dial, pull back, right, pull back from the car and then head back to his car. So a judge threw the charges out after watching these videos yesterday in Philadelphia. The Soros DA, Larry Krasner, with blood coming out of his everywhere, refiled charges on the officer. And so here's the thing, folks. If you're if you are a police officer in the city of Philadelphia, go home, call out. I'm calling for an absolute blue flu right now. There is a war on police officers that's going on in this country, and the city of Philadelphia, the officials of Philadelphia, the DA, and all the rest of them have decided to throw in with the people that want to see police officers killed, that want to see police officers arrested, that want to see their lives ruined. Call for a blue flu, get out of there, get out of the city of Philadelphia. And if you live in one of these cities, you need to get out immediately. Coming up next with a good friend of mine named Owen Schroyer. Ladies and gentlemen, one of the best ways that you can support us here at Human Events and the work that we do is subscribing to us on our Rumble channel. Make sure you're subscribed. You hit the notifications so you'll never miss a clip. You'll never miss a new live episode, and we're putting them out every single day of the week.
Rolled with bloods, and them boys had a saying. Can't be listening to all that slappy whack, trimatazole, it's a bam ship, nippy bam bam, like Human Events with Jack Posobiec.
All right, Jack Posobiec back live here, Human Events Daily. Look, folks, let me tell you something. Today's episode sponsor is Blackout Coffee. Blackoutcoffee.com, promo code POSO20. As always, you get 20% off your first order. But let me go a step further, right? Peel back the curtain a little bit. Peel back the layers. If you like the content on this program, if you like the fact that you can get your news straight up without the propaganda filters of the national security agencies, the propaganda filters of the special interests, the propaganda filters of the various mafias that control the United States regime, then you have to go and support the sponsors of this program like today's blackoutcoffee.com. We could not do what we do without their support and your you showing us your generosity by supporting. And by the way, I shut down so many people all the time when they try to advertise on this program because I say, I'm not for that. I don't like that product. I don't like what they stand for. I don't think our values align. But when I do pick one, all right, that means they've passed through that whole process. And I use every single one myself. So blackoutcoffee.com, yes, I actually drink the blackout coffee. I love when they send it to me. They, you know, 3-4 bags at a time. I'm telling you, you will love yours as well. Go to blackoutcoffee.com, use promo code POSO20. You'll see exactly what I mean. Our next guest is someone who the mainstream media will refer to as every name under the sun, but I'll give him what is actually his true, I think, his true title. He's a freedom fighter and a dissident. Ladies and gentlemen, Owen Schroyer joins the program. Owen, good to have you on, man.
Well, I appreciate that, Jack. And the truth is that I really am a freedom fighter. And one of the things that I've kind of learned in this fight for freedom is that I have to remember that I'm fighting for everybody's freedom here, even the people that hate me, even the people that hate this country, even some of the journalists that don't write friendly pieces about me. I'm fighting for their freedom, too. And so I really take that title not lightly, but as an honor.
And let's just be clear here. This regime has gone so far that they're actually throwing you in jail. 60 days, you are being sent to federal prison pretty soon, if I have that right. How did it feel to know that your work would bring you to a point like this?
I guess in a way I'm still shocked, actually. And I did actually hear from the government today. I have till October 24th to turn myself in. There are a lot of legal in and outs that are going to take place between now and then, so I really don't know what my fate is, but the government has issued the document that I have to turn myself in by October 24th. That happened today. We are, of course, appealing my sentencing, which not only was 2 months in prison, but also a year supervised probation, something completely unheard of, unprecedented. You don't get probation and jail. Usually a judge might even offer you one or the other. You don't get both. So this is really an example. This is really a precedent-setting thing. And I think that there's two levels of me that is kind of absorbing this and responding to this. Because you ask, you know, well, are you shocked? Did you ever expect this to happen? No. No. And in fact, we were stunned in the courtroom, myself and my legal representation. We were stunned in the courtroom when this happened. We were stunned when the government entered their sentencing memo asking for 4 months in jail. The whole process has been stunning. But the two levels that I absorbed this in are, one, the personal level, which is, yeah, personally, I'm shocked. I obviously don't belong in jail. I'm not a violent criminal. I guess really my biggest mistake is not being a liberal Democrat and rioting during the summer of 2020, or rioting during Trump's inauguration, or rioting whenever the Democrats tell me to and taking their bail funds. I guess that's my biggest mistake, is being a peaceful First Amendment activist, no matter what the date is. And apparently it doesn't even matter about January 6th, because in the government sentencing memo, they quote me. In fact, most of the 90% of the 30-page memo are quotes, not even dealing with January 6th, not even things I said or did on January 6th. It's things that I said on my radio show, on my talk show at InfoWars. So they listen to everything I do, and then they use that against me to sentence me to prison. So on a personal level, obviously, I don't want to go to jail. I don't belong in jail. And I feel that I'm being politically persecuted and targeted by my government. And what else am I left to assume when we watch thousands of violent criminals and rioters get no jail time? Rarely do they even see a courtroom. I mean, I could even be more specific. As I was being sentenced a couple Tuesdays ago, it was more than 2 weeks ago now, Jack, as I was being sentenced, Democrats stormed Kevin McCarthy's office. Now, do you think any of them will see inside a courtroom, let alone a jail cell? Doubt it. David Hogg disrupts Congress. Do you think he's going to see inside a courtroom? What about Jaden X, another January 6th defendant? He's over in Ukraine covering it. He actually went into the Capitol. He actually vandalized the Capitol. Do you think he's going to get a sentencing like me? So what else am I left to assume that I'm being targeted and persecuted by my government? But that's the one personal level. Here's the level that actually breaks my heart even more. I'm concerned that future Americans are going to have to be afraid of their speech. I'm afraid that future members of the media are going to have to be afraid that what they say is going to wind them up in a jail cell. Now, I've wanted to be a member of the media ever since I was in high school. I was a senior editor at my high school paper. I created the morning news that still runs at my high school to this day. I feel like I have accomplished my American dream. I feel very blessed in that. And now I have my heart breaking that future Americans, younger generation Americans, are going to have to be afraid of their government, that what they might say land them in jail. So that's kind of the two levels of the shock and awe and really heartbreaking horror that come with my sentencing.
You know, I actually did my my high school morning news as well. I was from freshman year all the way through, did it every single day. And you look at the situation, and it does set, I guess, a different precedent, because you mentioned about the future of the American people and American children. I got kids. You know, we think about what kind of country are they going to be growing up in? And the big question, I've seen this debated, and we've got a couple of minutes in this segment. I want to hold you over. Is the regime collapsing, or is the regime getting stronger? What is your take on that debate? Because I've actually seen both sides of it on right now, and I don't believe the regime is getting stronger. I personally believe the regime is getting weaker. This is the beast falling down into the pit and lashing out at anything it can as it plunges into the abyss with fatal fury. But I've heard other people saying, oh, no, the regime is stronger than ever. You're someone who's obviously facing them directly. What do you think?
Well, I think the drowning person's analogy is a good example, as you talking about it going into the pit. Everybody knows that if sometimes there's a drowning victim that's just going crazy and they're flailing and they're flopping, and if you're not trained on how to save them, they can end up drowning you as well. And so there's a little bit of that going on, because there's no doubt the awakening, the awareness level of the American people as far as the corruption we're dealing with, the corruption, the different levels of it, the different avenues of it that come from our government, our media, is at an all-time high. But I think that it goes both ways. Even though they are, I would say, in many ways, a collapsing regime, I think that we see that with some of the struggle they have to have these never-ending, eternally funded wars from the past like they want to see in Ukraine. There's a lot more resistance to that now. But you also see that they are relenting as far as they're going to do everything they can to destroy their opposition. So whether it's me or whether it's Donald Trump or whether it's Alex Jones or whether it's anybody else, they're going to try to use the will and the power that they have in their perhaps collapsing regime days to completely destroy any dissidents and completely destroy any opposition. So you could argue, does that show that they're weak? Does that show that they're powerful? I think maybe it shows both. But we see this trend of the Roman Empire right now. Well, why do we see that? Because I think people are starting to recognize that, you know, how did the Roman Empire fall? Well, we're kind of witnessing the same thing now with what might be called the American Empire falling.
Well, I think it's exactly right. And people have pointed out mass migration, multiculturalism, just a complete relaxation on the standards of basic human capital, right? We're seeing this first in our government, but keep in mind, this is almost on every institution, the competence crisis, saying that everything needs to be equal, we need to be egalitarian, we need to support people who can't, you know, who aren't good enough or smart enough, but we need to give them the job anyway. You know, we need to make things equitable. Anyone can fly an airplane. Anyone can be a surgeon. Anyone can be a brain doctor. No, actually, I don't think so. And this is why, by the way, that even basic services are now failing everywhere around the country. It's because these insane ideologies, this degeneracy and this decline has seeped into everything. We just see it in the government level first. That's why they've lost complete control of basically what they had before was soft power. And they lost soft power because of programs like InfoWars, like Human Events, like every other independent media that's out there, Tucker Carlson, going out and speaking truth to power. So after they lost that, what do they have left? Hard power. The power to lock up dissidents, the power to throw people in gulags. And if you don't think gulags are coming, we've got Owen Schroyer on right now. They're sending him to one. Last minute for this segment, Owen.
Well, again, I think that when they look at my case, I don't know if they really expected the backlash. And I'm not sure if that's because they assume that because I'm censored on all the social media platforms or all the InfoWars programs are censored everywhere, that they wouldn't get the public backlash. And there are still people in media that are afraid to touch anything InfoWars. There are still people in media that are afraid to touch anything Owen Schroyer. But the response to my case has been overwhelming. And quite frankly, and you know, this could be entirely wrong, and maybe you could offer your opinion on this too, I think that they actually ended up charging Ray Epps because of the backlash they got with charging me. I mean, they could have charged Ray Epps forever ago. They could have charged Ray Epps the day they put him on the FBI's wanted list, and
hold
they
that
never
thought.
Did.
We'll be right back. Next segment coming up, Owen Schroyer, Ray Epps. We're going to get into all of it after the break.
Today, you know, they talk about influencers. These are influencers. And they're friends of mine, Jack Posobiec. Where's Jack? Jack, he's done a great job.
All right, Jack Posobiec back live, Human Events Daily. Owen Schroyer's on. He's got an interesting theory. So we did see this massive backlash. And I gotta even say that the backlash to the Owen Schroyer sentencing and the fact that the DOJ brought up his statements on his radio show, on his talk show, at his sentencing, things that had nothing to do with January 6th on the ground activity, they didn't even go into the Capitol. They brought up his opinions. This is the issue. They brought up his opinions, his political opinions that are protected under the First Amendment at his sentencing and essentially used this to sway the judge. Massive backlash. And and correct me if I'm wrong, did Elon Musk actually comment? Was there, I think there was like a comment or something from Elon.
I didn't see an Elon Musk comment. You might be thinking of Vivek Ramaswamy, who did directly confront this case.
I know Vivek did, but I think Elon like you know, commented on somebody else's tweet and was like, that's crazy, something like that, right? Vivek, though, came out full on, said that he would pardon you immediately, which I have to say that he's been absolutely fantastic on that when it comes to you and really all of the other Jan 6 detainees, some of which have been held in absolute horrific. And look, I served at Guantanamo Bay. The conditions that these people are being held in are far worse than anything that was done at Guantanamo. Anything that was done at Guantanamo Bay. Those guys are taken care of. They get, you know, three hots and a cot. They get their meals are all full Islamic compliant. They're able to pray five times a day. They got a soccer field built for them. Believe me, I've been to Guantanamo, and trust me, those guys are not being treated as well as, or they're being far better than people in the DC gulag. But your theory of the case is that this indictment, which comes down on Ray Epps after we're nearly 3 years after January 6th, finally, the one guy who we know demonstrably is on tape actually inciting a riot, right? Directly telling people to go into the Capitol. He's finally indicted after all of this defense of Ray Epps that was done by the January 6th committee, by the New York Times. Why do you think that they did this right after your sentencing?
Well, again, and maybe it's some narcissism here. I'm open to criticism, but I can't help but think that they charged Ray Epps because of the backlash of charging and sentencing Owen Schroyer, because I do think it went a lot bigger than they expected. And maybe they didn't expect me to take the fangs out after the sentencing. Because, and I don't know if you want me to go into the weeds of the details of my case, but I'll put it very simply. I was operating in complete good faith, and plenty of criticism from people, fair enough, saying, well, why would you operate in good faith with the government? Why would you cooperate with the government? Because I wanted to prove my innocence beyond a reasonable doubt. I turned over two cell phones, which they still possess. I responded to every electronic data request. I sat down for question and answer sessions with the FBI. I cooperated because I'm innocent. There was no large plan that day, and I wanted to show complete good faith with the U.S. government. Was it foolish of me? That's for people to decide. But maybe they thought I was soft because of that cooperation, even though I just wanted to act in good faith, expecting that the U.S. government would act in good faith in responding to our good faith, but they didn't. It was our understanding that they were not going to push for incarceration given my above and beyond good behavior on probation and cooperating with their investigation, and they did it anyway. So we had a press conference afterwards where I decided, okay, you want to stab me in the back? You want to not act in good faith? Then I go ahead and do a press conference afterwards with my attorney and address all the wrongdoings by the U.S. government, in our view, in the proceedings and in the sentencing. But I can't help but believe that they probably thought that, oh, we'll sentence Owen Schroyer. It won't be that big of a deal. Nobody will really care. He's banned everywhere. But we have a very loyal audience. And look, I've met a lot of people. I've met you personally. People know me. They know I'm a nice guy. I try to bring joy to people's lives. And so, everybody knows that, gee, you're going after Owen Schroyer. I mean, I'm not going to act like I'm some sort of a choir boy or a Boy Scout. But, I mean, essentially, that's what they're doing here, is going after the Boy Scout, going after the quiet boy, going after the All-American that everybody loves. And so I think it got a lot more backlash than they anticipated, whether it was Vivek Ramaswamy or Tim Pool making this a big story, or you having me on my show, or me on your show, or maybe Elon Musk responding to it. I think that there was such backlash, and they're saying, gee, they're sentencing Schroyer to 2 months in jail when on January 6th, it's in their sentencing memo, he said, we're here to peacefully have our voices heard. And they even quote in the sentencing memo, say we were there to de-escalate the situation. Obviously, the videos of Alex Jones on the bullhorn saying, don't go in the Capitol, don't go into the Capitol, us trying to work with law enforcement to stop the entire thing. By the way, the time we arrived, we were there hours after there was any breach. So I think it was such an egregious thing that got so much media attention that, yes, they are charging a journalist. Yes, they are criminalizing speech, that it was like, okay, Well, we've got Ray Epps doing much worse than Owen Schroyer ever did. We've got to do something about this now. This is just too obvious. So that might be my narcissistic theory. You've heard it now. You can respond to it. But let me just say, there are multiple levels of egregious abuses of power and criminalization of free speech in my case. It's actually a stunning thing when you read the 30-page sentencing memo that the four sections, there are four different sections in the memo convincing this judge I need to go to jail, and each section is about my speech. Each section is about my speech. So this is a free speech case. We are appealing it as such, and if this has to go to the Supreme Court, Jack, then maybe that's where this belongs, because we believe this is going to be one of the most important precedent-setting First Amendment cases in modern American history and maybe even in U.S. history.
Look, Owen, I think you're right, actually, this theory. And, you know, I had seen those two events happen in succession, but, you know, it's so far removed that I didn't look at it. You know, I think you're right. I think that they wanted to shift the attention away from you, right, to put all of it back on Ray Epps. And at the same time, it gives them the ability to turn back. And you're seeing this happen now where they're using this Ray Epps indictment. And it's a slap on the wrist to go after Julie Kelly and Darren Beatty and Tucker Carlson and really anyone who asked questions, serious questions, about the things, again, that we have Ray Epps on video saying and doing. And the real question, of course, is always this. Where did Ray Epps get the idea to say and do all those things? Was there anyone that Ray Epps was talking to that was, and they're screaming, Fed, on January 5th, the night before. I was there in Freedom Square that night, Owen, and I remember, you know, being on like a different end of the square and hearing people yelling fed. I couldn't tell what was going on. And I do remember seeing a guy in like a long, I thought it was a raincoat, right? This long gray tan kind of coat. I thought it was a raincoat. But then, you know, looking back, we've all seen those videos of Ray Epps. So I'm standing on the other, it's packed, right? Jam packed that night. And it was Ray Epps. They're screaming fed at him. And the reason is because that sounds like something a fed would say. And so they're using this to pull away information and attention on you because they realized that by doing this to you, what they did was essentially they made you a sort of political martyr. And a political martyr in the sense that you are a person who legitimately didn't do anything wrong other than exercise your First Amendment right to protest for a redress of grievances, to go to the Capitol and have your voice heard, right? We never saw this against the, you know, BLM. You know, Owen, what you should have done is put on a black mask and firebombed the Austin police station, their police department, because then you'd probably be getting, I don't know, some kind of award right now.
Well, and of course, we're being facetious. You or I would never call for violent activity or criminal activity we've never had, but isn't that really the ultimate juxtaposition? And, you know, I hear people that decry whataboutism, but I actually completely promote whataboutism because you have no justice without whataboutism. I mean, that is how you measure justice, is you take two things and you see if justice is applied equally. And it's clearly not in this case. I mean, we could sit here for hours, Jack, and talk about all the different riots. I mean, hell, you wrote a book about Antifa. You went behind the scenes of Antifa. You know what it is that they do. I mean, if anybody is a domestic terror group operating on the streets, you know as well as anybody that it would have to be them. But notice, the Justice Department doesn't want to talk badly about them. There's no investigation in the organization or funding of Antifa. Hell, they don't even attempt to identify the street thugs that go out there and commit violent criminal offenses against law enforcement officers and government buildings. So again, this whataboutism, I think, is the perfect settlement here of whether we have justice in this country or not. And, you know, I think there's a larger issue aside from just the free speech issue, too. There's a reason why we call it justice. And there's a reason why we have a Department of Justice. This isn't the Department of Law, right? Because there is a bit of a nuance there. Because law, there's a gray area in when it's applied. There's circumstances, there's different things that might happen. And so the gray area here should be black and white. Leftists go out and riot. They rioted so badly in Washington, D.C., they nearly burned down a church. It was so bad, it was so close to the White House, that the president had to go down to the bunker. But the media said that that was mostly peaceful. And how many people got investigated or spent time in jail for those activities? But again, okay, this couldn't even be a better juxtaposition of what was happening. As I was being sentenced, and I'm sure you were covering this at the time, Democrats stormed Kevin McCarthy's office. Do you think any of them will see a courtroom?
The same thing they did with Brett Kavanaugh. We saw them occupying Senate buildings, Senate offices. Owen, I know you got to run. You got your show. We got to move on. But folks, I just want to say, when the knock at the door comes, if that knock at the door comes, you can only hope that you handle it with the strength, the dignity, the character, and the grace that Owen Schroyer has shown and continues to show. God be with you, Owen. Godspeed. I'm going to make sure that you get a copy of the Bible while you're in there, because we are going to make sure also to do everything we can to pray for you and support you throughout that entire time. Go and support Owen Schroyer. Go support his movement. Why? Because Owen Schroyer is supporting you.
My ear about the boring people at your office. I'm trying to listen to the new human events with Jack Posobiec.
Jack Posobiec back live here at Human Events Daily. Do you ever get the feeling that the unthinkable is going to happen soon? I do. But between the distractions and the smoke screens in the media, we probably won't see it coming. That's why it's smart to invest in emergency food right away. As they say, it's better to have it and not need it than to need it and not have it. My dad always said that. My Patriot Supply is the nation's leader in high-quality emergency food. Head over to MyPatriotSupply.com and prepare today with emergency food that'll stay fresh for up to 25 years. Enjoy a wide variety of delicious food kits offering over 2,000 calories every day for optimum strength under stress. And don't forget about water filtration and purification products. These are perfect for your bug-out bag, survival supply, or your camping pack. One thing is for sure in this world. We all need to stock up before the panic sets in. So if you order by 3 p.m. today, and I know that's not a lot of time, and your items ship that same day, it's that fast. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com. It's time to prepare for what's coming. MyPatriotSupply.com. Look, Owen Schroyer is a political prisoner, and we've talked about how this government that we have is continually funding these forever wars all over the place. And yet we see this list, and I want to pull it up here. How many names? 28 senators, and these are Republicans, all voting for more funding to Ukraine. Lieutenant Colonel Tony Schaefer is with us. Tony, why is this so important to the ruling class in America? Why are so many Republicans willing to shut down the entire government over funding for a war that doesn't seem to be in our direct national security interests?
Yeah, well, thanks for having me, Jack. And I refer to Eli Lake today on the House floor outlined, I think, in a very articulate manner what the issues are. This is not worth blood and treasure. This is nothing of our strategic or national interests are actually jeopardized by this, what I consider a regional conflict. What is going on is something that goes back to Obama and probably a little bit before, which is to move us in a direction, and this is not conspiracy theory. This is the World Economic Forum and their reinvention of world order and the Build Back Better. The Clintons are lining up to jump in to rebuild Ukraine. The whole idea has been from day one is to move Ukraine out from under the Russian sphere of influence and cooperation to the EU and more extensively to the West, to this larger effort to globalize, make us all global citizens. And that's what this is all about. That's why there's so much blood and treasure at stake from those who are trying to push this, such as the Bidens, the Clintons, and the neocons. And at this point, I don't see any difference between the neocons and the neolibs on this issue. I think they're all trying to push towards what Obama was pushing us towards, is this larger effort to essentially subordinate the United States to this idea of global collectivism, the reinvention of capitalism. So that's what this. That's why they're pushing so hard to get us involved and keep us there.
Well, I think that's a huge part of it. We have to point out the deep financial interest. So you got Hillary Clinton reappears on the world stage, and suddenly she's signing a deal with she's up there with the First Lady of Ukraine, signing a deal for the Clinton Foundation to come in as the official rebuilding partner of the Ukrainian government. It's like it's not even the deep state anymore, because now it's in your face. It's in your grill. Yeah. But there's another aspect to this, Tony, because we are 1 year. Yesterday was the 1 year anniversary of the bombing of the Nord Stream 2 pipeline. Yeah. And we would be remiss to not talk about the deep-seated financial and energy interests that so many of our senators, even Republicans, the 28 Republicans here, are directly tied to, because there are so many direct, as I said, financial and energy interests at play here.
Right. Look, I think we all know who did it. You tweeted out, and I retweeted your tweet of Joe Biden saying he was going to take it out. Seymour Hersh, and I know Cy Hersh put out, I think, a credible explanation. Between you and me, Jack, every other explanation, Ukrainians on a sailboat, it's like something out of Get Smart, for goodness sake, really? Two men in a rowboat? I mean, come on. We do know that there was an interest to take that out and diminish the ability of Russia to make money and energy to go to Germany. So that's what's at stake here. We're talking right now about the fact that they're trying to move everything out of carbon fuels, carbon-based fuels, to this renewable class of things. And they're spending enormous amounts of money on this to basically defund farmers, to fund agriculture, move people into a position where they have to depend on the grid, a grid which they control, and cars that have computers that they control. And again, I don't see how people don't see this sort of thing, Jack. This is all going on, and there's an immense amount of money going into it. Biden just said the other day that he put $10 billion into EVs for purposes of trying to turn our whole economic system of how we drive into this EV dream of theirs. It's very dangerous. And I think at this point, it again is part of this larger effort to get people to give up what has actually worked and worked very well. But that's what's going on. The Inflation Reduction Act was nothing but a repainting of the New Green Deal, and they funded it. And so that's why they're trying to work so hard to do this sort of two-step regarding energy. The only other thing I'll say about that real quick is Ukraine does have energy resources that would be able to compete with Russia. And I would argue that's one of the reasons they want Ukraine out from under the Russian influence, because in 2014 they found immense reserves of oil and gas in the Donbass and Black Sea. They don't want Russia to have that. They want the EU to have that. It goes back to this global governance thing, and that's why they want to pull that out from under Russia. Ultimately, I think many of the underpinnings of the war in Ukraine has to do with energy and who gets to control the energy.
I mean, Tony, we've talked about it so many times, but Ukraine is a nexus. We talked about it last week, how Ukraine is the secret playground of the globalists, and we talked about the child trafficking. We also had an interview where we talked about the baby factories in Ukraine, the oil, the energy, even the farmland where they're trying to get Monsanto and the GMOs in for total control of this area. Because what is Ukraine at the end of the day? The fertile breadbasket of it all. And if you don't think that there are, Tony, when we're talking about the just put all this together, put a number on it for us. How much money are we talking about that's on the table here? If Trump says we're going to get out, there's no more war, we're going to bounce, and then Russia is able to come in, how much money is actually at play to lose for these interests?
Well, let's think about what they spent so far. $100 billion, most of that spent right in Washington. It didn't go to Ukraine. It goes to U.S. interest in corporations, which make money off it. Leader McConville admitted this the other day in the Senate. So right now we're talking, if you just take, Jack, us spending approximately, I think the estimates are about $3 trillion in Afghanistan over 20 years, it's got to be more than that. By an order of magnitude regarding Ukraine. So if it took that much for Afghanistan, which really wasn't much to it to rebuild since there wasn't much there, this you're talking about essentially Ukraine becoming an experiment for the World Economic Forum and their Build Back Better. And literally that's what's going on. Look, I think that, Jack, that's why they don't want to negotiate in the war. They want more destruction. Putin is going to give them
too
the
many of
they
these
want,
vultures. No doubt. Too many of these vultures have their beaks in. They don't care about the Ukrainian people.
Right.
They'll lie about this Black Sea commander. They said he's dead. Oh, he turns up alive. They'll lie about the missile that hit the Polish farmers.
Of course.
They said, oh, it was Russia. No, it wasn't Russian. It was Ukrainian.
No.
They'll lie, and they'll continue to lie because there are billions and billions at
stake
here. Tony,
trillions. Trillions.
Wow. Trillions. They are washed. And Julian Assange said it. They're washing the American tax base out. If you think this is about helping the people of Ukraine or helping anyone overseas, just go ask the 120,000 Armenians that just got ethnically cleansed out of Artsakh whether we actually care about, you know, human rights anywhere in the world. Tony Schaefer, I know we got to run. We're going to Michigan. Where can people go to follow you, get more information?
T-Spooky on Twitter, where you and I follow each other, and ProjectSentinel.com or .net. Good to talk to you, Jack. See you again soon.
Appreciate the briefing, as always, Lieutenant Colonel. All right, Human Events goes live to Michigan. The UAW worker strike coming up next.
I'm always listening to Human Events with Jack Posobiec.
All right, Jack Posobiec back here live, Human Events Daily. We're about to go now. We're working on bringing up a shot. We've got Steve Gruber of Real America's Voice is down there with the striking UAW workers, United Auto Workers. And this is a real inflection point for, I think, the Republican Party and really the populist movement in this country. Because if you remember, the Republican Party used to be the party of the owners, the party of the ultra rich, the ultra wealthy. That's all totally shifted. Now, Joe Biden, that's why he flew out there and spent, 87 seconds actually talking to the people on the line. And guys, let me know when we're set up to go in. But what you're seeing Trump doing and Trump going there tonight to counter program there is a Republican debate, but I don't know how many people are actually watching. I heard Fox is actually slashing their ad rates because it's projected to be such a snoozer that he is sided with the American workers. So when I talk about the special interests overseas, the special interest to send billions of dollars overseas, whether it's the military industrial complex, whether it's finance, whether it's agribusiness, whether it's big pharma, whether it's baby factories, any of these various interests, pharmaceutical companies that are raking in the dough out of Ukraine, you got to understand that all of that at the same time is underpinned by the U.S. chamber that has these deals with China and the fact that China has unfettered access to American markets. This has destroyed American manufacturing, destroyed our industry, destroyed our infrastructure. I talk about it how many times here on the show. The Midwest, the South, it was gutted by design by these people. And why? Because there's money. Because there's so much money involved in it. And so when President Trump goes there as a Republican, it shows you two things. Number one, the restructuring of the Republican Party. And the reason that Joe Biden's there is because the Democrats are terrified of the Rust Belt. They know that Trump is the only Republican that has the ability to win the Rust Belt. And I'm told that we have Steve Gruber now on the scene to kind of explain it to us just a little bit. Can we go to Steve, guys? Steve, how you doing, man?
Doing good, Jack. Good to talk to you here today. We're at this event, Clinton Township. These folks are out here for Donald Trump. Because, well, as you know, These guys are fired up, Jack. I mean, really fired up. Donald Trump led a revolution in this country. I heard you talking about it. How Democrats used to be the party of the middle class, the party of labor. But Donald Trump has brought all of those people across the aisle. He's brought middle class, working class, UAW folks across the aisle. In fact, I've got a gentleman right here I want to talk to you for just 1 second. You are a former UAW member, right? And you said your best times were when you were working and Donald Trump was president. Tell me about that.
I am a current UAW worker. I have 28 years. The 4 years under Donald Trump were the best 4 years out of the whole 28 years I've worked for Stellantis. Under Clinton, under Obama, and under Biden, I've been afraid of losing my job.
And Jack, he's afraid of losing his job as a UAW member. 28 years. The best time he ever had was with Donald Trump in the White House. So here's what we are hearing. The move is to Donald Trump. The move is to Donald Trump by working class people. You know that. So Donald Trump's going to be here in Clinton Township tonight. It's an invitational-only event. Otherwise, the line would be down around 3 or 4 miles from here. But it's an invitational-only event. But the people that are going in with those invitations, pretty fired up to be here. And you are exactly right, Jack. When you say that the Democrats and Joe Biden are afraid of the Rust Belt, you couldn't be more right. It's Michigan. It's Wisconsin. It's Ohio. It's Pennsylvania. The states that are the industrial base, they're all leaning to Donald Trump, Jack. It looks like it's going to be a good night.
Steve, can you ask him, what is the role of China? Do they understand, is China a major issue for them when they see the Republicans versus the Democrats, or really just Trump versus everyone else?
Well, let me ask my friend here. China, how do you look at China as a threat to American productivity to construct a building things in this country? Is that one of the things you think about?
China is a huge threat. I think all the EV push is to make China rich.
Well, and there you have it. A lot of folks. Here's what we know today, Jack. The people that work on the line at Stellantis making Jeep and Chrysler or at Ford or GM, they can't afford to buy one of these $80,000 or $100,000 EVs. The people that work on the line can't afford the vehicles they're making. There's something wrong with that. There's something wrong with an America where you can't buy what you're making on the line. Not to mention, 40% of those auto workers, about 60,000 people, 5 or 8 years from now, won't have jobs because it takes 40% less labor to build an EV than it does to build an internal combustion motor vehicle in Detroit or Toledo or Missouri or anywhere else in this country.
Steve, what do they think about Biden showing up? I understand he was only there for a couple of minutes.
Well, it was pretty funny. We've talked a lot to you about that. He was on the ground at the UAW event total for 12 minutes. He spoke for, I think you got it right, 87 seconds. They don't think about Joe Biden. Not much at all, in fact. They have no issue at all. What do you think? Trump or Biden? Trump? All right. Wait, what do you think of Joe Biden? Just thought I'd take a quick instant poll for you, Jack. There it is.
Now, are you hearing, and I understand they're in line for Trump, but is there any other, we've got about 90 seconds left, is there anyone else, we do have the Republican debate tonight, is there anyone else that they're looking at in terms of the Republican field?
Oh, no.
I've talked to several people here today. No is the answer. The short answer is no. Donald Trump leads the polls 40-50, even more, 40 or 50 points. It's a runaway. In fact, I heard suggestions, Jack, and maybe you could weigh in on this, that what's the point of having another debate after tonight? You've had two. Nobody's paying attention. It's not denting Donald Trump's standing in the polls. He's still dominating. He's running away with it, frankly. I'm not even sure if there's another Republican in double digits anymore now that the governor of Florida has faded so much. So you have to wonder, why would you continue having these debates at the Ronald Reagan Library or anywhere else for that matter if nobody's paying attention? Because you know who's going to get attention tonight? Donald Trump will. You know who wins the debate tonight? Donald Trump probably will, just like he did the last time around. I mean, there's no point in having a debate. Will you watch the debate? Ever?
No, I will not. Not unless Trump participates.
I think there's your answer.
Simple as
Jack.
That, Steve. We're just about
stage,
out of time here, and then I know you'll come
sir.
Up. So if you guys want more with Steve, he's going to be coming up after us. Look, folks, I think Steve is exactly right that in this current moment, we know that it is Donald Trump who has a dominant lead. And what we really need to do is these other guys, they can shift into VP debates if they want to do something like that, set up a little episode of The Apprentice. But the workers of America understand that we must put Trump back in the White House to release the political prisoners like Owen Schroyer, like so many others, and actually confront China on the world stage, end the endless wars.